Okay, Ramban on Parshas Yisro. So there is a lot of Ramban here, some of it very Yisodistic. Okay, but let's at the beginning. First thing is, when did Yisro come? So that's a machlokas in the Gemara. It's a famous machlokas in general. In the Parshanim, Rashi in general is very comfortable saying Ein Muktam Amuchar B'Torah, that the Torah can be out of order. The Ramban is less so. The Ramban usually does not say that. It likes the Torah to be in chronological order unless forced to say otherwise. So here, you know, it sounds like Yisro came before the Torah was given. You know, that's the order of the Pesukim. The problem is, or the what makes it unclear, is at the end of the story of Yisro, it says he went home before the Torah is given. And we find in Parshas Pa'aloscha that Moshe tries to convince him to stay, and Yisro doesn't respond. But we know that that was like, you know, in a year later. That was much later. So, if it's the same story, because here we have, at the, you know, in our parsha, we have him heading home, and in Parshas Pa'aloscha, it says that he asked him to stay, and he didn't respond, so perhaps he went home. If it's the same going home, that means it's a year later, which means this whole story is after Matan Torah. And also, Yisro is giving him advice about the judges, and says, you know, Moshe says, oh, I have to teach, I have to stand all day teaching everybody Chukya Lakim Besarosev, or something like that. There was no Torah before the, you know, what Torah? The Torah wasn't given at the beginning of our parsha. So it sounds like it was out of order, and Yisro came later. Okay, the Ramban does not, you know, the Ramban thinks the Pashup Shad is that Yisro came before Matan Torah. And the way he understands the order is that Yisro came before the Torah was given, and then when at the end of the parsha it says, I mean, at the end of the parak, I guess you would say, at the end of Parak Yud Ches in Parshas Yisro, when it says Yisro went home, that was temporarily. He suggests to convert his family, and then Yisro came back. He came back, and then in Parshas Baaloscha, that's when he was asked if he would stay. That's when Moshe was going to leave again. And Moshe tried to convince him to stay. And, like I said, it doesn't say what Yisro responded. The Ramban said, he stayed. You don't get the impression, I mean, I don't know what you would think. The Torah doesn't say what he decided to do. But the Ramban suggests that he stayed. So he came in our parsha before the Torah was given, went home to convert his family, came back, and then he went, and then he was about to go home a second time, but instead stayed with the Jewish people. And, you know, that also is also an issue of, when Shaul was going to go attack the Amalekim, there was he had to watch out for he told them that don't kill Yisro's family. Well, if Yisro stayed with the Jews, like the Ramban said, well, why is Yisro hanging out near Amalek? So the Ramban suggests maybe that was, you know, like a cousin or whatever, just someone related to Yisro's family who, they were being nice to because it was related to Yisro. Okay, that's just a, you know, a pshat machlokas, but there's a very interesting thing that the Ramban says so many times. He takes this, you know, anytime it says Hashem versus Elohim, the Ramban is paying very close attention, if it says Hashem versus Elohim. So the Shem Yudke Vavke versus the Shem Elohim. So, you know, with Paro had, could not understand the concept of Yudke Vavke. And that's why Shmi Hashem Lonadat, not Lonadat, it's, Paro said that wasn't Makar the Shem Yudke Vavke, he didn't recognize that name. He only knew the Shem Elohim. So then when they would talk to Paro, they would use the Shem Elohim. Because that's the concept that they knew. Because the Elohim is a power, as he's going to talk about much through this parsha. And Hashem is Elokei Elohim, means the one in charge of the powers. But Yudke Vavke means the creator of all, runs all. It was a concept that they, I guess they didn't understand. Anyway, Yisro, whatever this means on its deepest level, Yisro also sounds like was in that parsha, didn't know the Shem Hashem. Yudke Vavke, that is. So that's the parsha starts with Vayishma Yisro Kohen Midian Chosim Moshe Eis Kol Asher Asa Elokim LaMoshe, because he only understands Elokim. However, via Moshe and all the Nisan that happens, he became to know the Shem Yudke Vavke. Remember, the Ramban had also said the Shem of Shakai was a more natural Nisim, and Shem Yudke Vavke is open Nisim. Again, I'm not a Makoba, I'm just saying what the Ramban said. So Elohim is the name that he knew beforehand. He saw all that Elohim, Lemoshe Yisrael Amo, and then Kihotzi Hashem Yisrael Mary Mimitzrayim, the Yudke Vavke took them out of Mitzrayim, it just means that concept he didn't know, and now he knew that concept of Yudke Vavke. Again, you see again that concept in Pasuk Yud Aleph. It says, Yisro says, Atayadati, now I know, Ki Gadol Hashem, Yudke Vavki, Mikol Helo, Him, from all powers. As he had learned that new idea. Then we have Yisro saying, Baruch Hashem, that he took you out of Mitzrayim, and also he was impressed that Kiva Davar Shir Zadu Aleihem. So the Ramban says, because the Mitzrayim, there was a Gzera on Klal Yisrael to be have an onesh of avadam v'inu osam. So really, the Mitzrayim weren't roi for such onesh, because that was supposed to happen to the Jews. They were supposed to get that, but they were not supposed to wipe them out. And the fact that they tried to secretly kill all the Jewish boys, that was not what was supposed to happen. So for that, they were deserving of punishment. And that they tried to drown the Jewish boys, so they got drowned, so Kiva Devar Shazadu Alehem, that what they tried to do the Jews happened to them. So you saw the Mida Kenegan Mida. So then Moshe is talking to Yisro and telling him, you know, what he does. We know Yisro's advice to Moshe, but when Moshe is describing to Yisro, he says that the whole nation comes, Lidro Shalokim. They come to him, Lidro Shalokim. What does that mean to be Dori Shalokim? So the Ramban says, they come for many things, and he gives as examples, came to the tzaddik to daven. So he said, people, lidro shalakim means they would come to Moshe to daven that their cholim should be cured, which is interesting. That means they had sick people in the midweek, and just think, you know, with the man and the ananiya kava, but there are still people who are sick. So Moshe should daven for those who are sick. And unhodiyah mashiobalim, or tell them where they left their keys. Seriously, that's what it says. To tell them they had a lost and a last item. They had a lost item, and Moshe was a Navi. So they would come to him for that. That's what Ramban says. That's called Drishas Elokim. That's what people would do in general with Nevi'im. Maybe they didn't come about their keys, but it's interesting that that's what Drishas Elokim was. Okay, then Yisro tells him to appoint Anshe Chayel. Who are Anshe Chayel? According to the Ramban, what do you call Chayel? The Ramban says any gathering of stuff is called a Chayel. So Anshei Chayel are people who are ra'i to lead a big gathering of, in this case, people. And Eishes Chayel is a lady who can run her home, who can run a Chayel, like a house, a hullabaloo. And Eishes Chayel is a lady who's ra'i to run such a thing. And the other translation he gives for Chayel is strong. Like you usually think Anshei Chayel is like warriors, so here in Eishes Chayel would be someone who has the zrizus to run the house. Okay, so Moshe is supposed to appoint Anshei Chayel, also Sonei Batza, people who hate money. What does that mean? He just quotes the Medrash, that even when they are wronged in Din, still they don't sue. Like even if somebody crashes into their car completely for no reason and by accident, crashes into their car, they don't sue them. That's what it means, they hate their own money, meaning that they don't go after anybody even though they got damaged. That's Sonei Batza. Okay, then we get to the story of Haim at Har Sinai. Just interesting, when it says they gathered there at Har Sinai, it says, Vayisum Refidna Vayavo Midbar Sin Vayachinu Bamidbar Vichan Shem Yisrael Negad Har. Now the Rabbanu has already told us, means the Hamon Am, which is not the high level. Yisrael means the high level people. Only the high level people were at Har Sinai? So Ramban suggests that, yeah, that like the Erev Rav was in the back, and Yisrael was in the front. That they kicked out all the, not kicked out to leave, but put them in the back. All the people who were not from the tzaddikim, I guess you would call. So they were there, just and the Erev Rav is what he says. The Erev Rav is in the back, perhaps. Okay, and Hashem tells Moshe to, Hashem says, so that the should hear when I speak to you, and they'll believe in you forever. So the Ibn Ezra says that the purpose of this is that everyone should believe in Moshe, because some, says the Ibn Ezra, didn't believe, weren't so sure about Nevuah. So this way, at Maimon Har Sinai, they would come to believe in Hashem and in Moshe, as it says, and we said by Kriyas Yom, says, Vayar Yisrael Siyadak L'Hashem Hatzal Hashem Mitzrayim, Vayaminu B'Hashem Moshe Avdo, that they did believe in Hashem. So he says, it says, Vayar Yisrael, it wasn't Kol Yisrael, it was Yisrael. Here, everybody would believe. which fits with that Yishmaha Medabri Yimach, that the Amul here. Okay, but the Ramban says, no, not true. Ezer Avram Lo Yistapukuku BeNevuah. No, that was not a suffix. Kal Yisrael was never misupik about whether Nevuah was true. And it doesn't say Kal Yisrael anywhere. And he had told it, the Ramban had told us that's what he thought. Akriyas Yamsuf, everybody believed. And that was the purpose of that pasuk, to tell you that everybody believed. Anyway, what he says this means is the Gambachaya Aminu La'olam is the point. It's the La'olam, not the people standing there. It'll be that they'll believe forever in Moshe. Why forever? Because since everyone will be getting Nevuah themselves, so they'll know that Moshe is the one Hashem chose, and therefore they'll believe in Moshe forever, because they can pass that down to their children, that they got Nevuah themselves, not someone else. Everyone in Klal Yisrael got Nevuah themselves, and now they know that Moshe is the Hashem's choice for to be their leader and give the Torah. Okay, Aseret Sibur Divros. So, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. The Ramban says that is a mitzvah saseh, that you have to know and believe that Hashem is the God, which means God, he says, means that he created the world. The world did not exist previously before God. God created the world, and the purpose of Shehen Asherot Tzitzicha Meretz Mitzrayim is exactly that point. So if God took us out of Mitzrayim and changed nature, then God must have created the world. Meaning to say, if the universe always existed, that means you won't be able to just change nature, because it's a thing existed before existence. I don't know, it was somehow always around, so they can't be changing of nature, like to change the whole thing. But so it must be that God created it and therefore can mess with it and change it however, in whatever, change all the ways things work, whatever he wants. That he took us out of Mitzrayim, that's Mora and Yecholus and Yichud, and that he created the world. And then, of course, he runs the world. He also mentions that these dibros are all private, you know, to the individual. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So, you know, there's stiras in different Rishonim disagree about this, and there's stiras all over the place. Whenever the Torah talks to an individual, when it's talking to Jewish people, and it says in Lashon Yachid, is that a way of saying you as a nation as a whole, not individuals, or is that a way of saying I'm talking to the individual? Anyway, the Ramban says here he's talking to the individual. That one should not think that, you know, Hashem's talking to the Jewish people as a whole, and I as an individual could do whatever avir I want. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. He's talking to every single Jew. Hashem cares about every single Jew that they have to follow the Torah and mitzvahs. Okay, the second dibra is Lo Yelecha Elohim Acherim Al Panai. Don't have other gods on my face. So there's a lot in here. It says don't have other gods on Al Panai, in front of my face. And then we have that Hashem says he's a Kel Kana, a vengeful God. So the Ramban says that you find kina by Hashem in the Torah, specifically by Avodah Zarah, and specifically when referring to Jews. And in other words, there's lots of avirus in the Torah, right? And specifically, you'll find kina by specifically Avodah Zarah and Jews worshiping Avodah Zarah. And the reason is because we are kaviyachol married to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and therefore going after other guys, other gods, is similar to going after other, being mizana, going after another spouse. So that's why lashon of kina is there, sort of like jealousy. It's made specifically for us and Hashem because we have that special relationship. And then the Ramban goes on to explain that there are three types of avodah zarah. The first type was originally that people worshipped the kochos in shamayim, the malachim in shamayim. Every nation has their own Sar and Shemayim. And that's, they would pray to them and hoped that by connecting to them or praying to them, that would do something for them. So if you're from Greece, you're going to pray to the angel of Greece because you hope that that'll help you. And he says that's what the Torah calls Elohim Acherim, other gods. Remember we said Elohim is powers. Elohim Acherim, other powers, other gods. So that's what they would dive into. Second kind is people would worship the mazalos, meaning the constellations, the sun, the moon, Mars, Jupiter, whatever. They would worship the constellations because those also have a koach, really because there's a malach in Shemayim on top of them. But they had that koach, so they thought if they worshipped or connected to that, it would somehow help them. Meaning if you were going to war at a time when a certain... when the Mars is the one up there in the constellation, so then that's good for war, or whatever. So they thought by worshiping these things it would help them. And the Ramban says that this, he thinks, started in the time of the Dor HaFlaga, where everybody was sent on their ways all over the place. And they got sorcerers or astrologers or whatever, and Nevi'i Shekri calls to tell them, who used magic to tell them what the future would bring by the Mazalos. And they thought by connecting to them, that would help them. And, it's not just that. This is very interesting. These were powerful things. So they thought connecting to them would help them. So the same thing were kings. Like Paro, remember, was a god, made himself a god, Sancheiriv. Ada'an Nebuchadnezzar, one of them said, Adam al Elyon. I think it was Sancheiriv. Okay, whatever. Anyway, the Ramban says that these were not fools, these were Rishayim. Anyway, somehow by connecting yourself to someone, Matzliach, who the Shah was Mesachek Eslo, right? Their mazel seemed to, literally what we call mazel, but really this Koch and Shemai, whatever, their mazel was going good. Connecting to that guy, your mazel gets slept along with his, that if he's doing well, you do well. So you connect to the king, or the king connects to the mazel and Shemayim, or the sar of that, whatever. This is what these people would do, so they would offer sacrifice to them, or worship them, thinking that, or, and connect, hidabik machshavosim bo. It wasn't just sacrifices like we think today that that's it. There was some connecting of the mind and thinking about and connecting that somehow you'd get schlepped along with them. And then the third type of Avodah Zarah was worshipping Shadim. Shadim are just, you know, things that are destructive, worshipping them. So that's the Pasuk says in Hazinu, Yizbechu l'Shadim lo Eloah. Elohim lo yedo'um chadashim ikarov bo. That's what all that's about. He's saying when they started worshipping Shadim, that's an Elohim that nobody knew. And that's chadashim ikarov bo, meaning it was a new type of Avodah Zarah. They started worshipping the Shadim instead of the Malachim that they used to worship. A new type of Avodah. Anyway, that's what this Dibra is saying. Lo yelacha Elohim acherim al panai. That's the first kind of worship. Don't have Elohim, meaning other Malachim. Don't have other powers that you're worshipping al panai. Alpanai means in front of my face, like the Malachim are up there up in Shemayim with Hashem. Don't be worshiping them. And then the next pasuk, Losase lecha pesa v'chotzmuna asher b'shamayim imal v'asher b'aretz mitachas. That's all these other types of avodah zarahs and the mazalos or the shadim, whatever. None of them. And then it says Hashem is poked avon avos al b'nei v'al b'nei v'nei v'al shilashim v'al ribim, that Hashem remembers the averus for four generations. Banim b'nei Banim, Bnei Banim, Shileishim Reveim. Goes down four generations. So what does that tell us? So that he quotes the Ibn Ezra says that it means Hashem gives is a mochel for a few generations, so to speak. In other words, Hashem will give the person a chance. Maybe they'll have a kid who's a tzaddik. Once we go four generations to Rosh Hashanah, they all get wiped out. That's the Ibn Ezra. The Ramban says he doesn't think that that's what it means at all. Rather, it means that Hashem, if the children follow in the ways of the fathers, any of those generations, if they follow in the ways of their fathers, so then the kids get punished besides what they did, they get punished for what their fathers did. If they're tzaddikim, then not at all. But if they continue in the ways of their fathers, they get punished even for what the father did. Up to four generations, after that, they're not connected to that. So in other words, if you have one person, he was a sinner. His son is a sinner. His grandson is a sinner. So that grandson might get wiped out, even though he only did the Avera, I don't know, a couple times, but it keeps the Avera, if it's an Avera that's going through this family, then the grandkid might get wiped out if he's continuing that way. Whereas Hashem might be give time for the first guy who did it, maybe his kids will be better. If they're all continuing it, then they could all get the punishment of the father. And here's a big one. The Ramban says it is possible that this whole thing that the children suffer from the sins of the parents, maybe that's only by Avodah Zarah, because it's so chamer. But maybe not by any other Avira. That's a big one. Okay, then we have the third Dibra. Lo asisa Hashem Hashem alakech alashav, ki lo yinakeh Hashem, esa asher yisa Hashemo lashav. So Hashem says, don't swear falsely. Oh, lashav, sorry, for no purpose. Because lo yinakeh Hashem, esa asher yisa Hashemo lashav. Hashem won't Bimochel, who won't leave the person clean who swears in his name for no reason. Again, this is talking about somebody who swears a rock is a rock. So just a waste of a swear. Or perhaps that they say Shem Shamayim Levatala, Hashem won't forgive, won't clean, make them clean, won't forgive them, basically. So the Rabban says, what do you need this Lashon of Lo Yinakeh? He says, because this is the type of thing that you would think Hashem would be Menakeh. In other words, all he did was swear for no reason. He didn't swear falsely. So the guy might think, you didn't do anything wrong, what's the big deal? So Hashem wants you to know, no, it's a big deal. Lo Yinakeh Hashem. SSR Yisrael Shmuel Lashav. We find a very similar thing in the Tzavim. It says, the Pesukim in Tzavim says, Hashem will not forgive him. What did the guy do wrong? The Gemara of Matzias says, it's machzer aveda lagoy. And since there's no mitzvah to do that, and he's making up his own mitzvahs, it shows that he doesn't do mitzvahs for Hashem, he does it because of his own feelings that he thinks he figured out what's correct. So, why won't God forgive him? What's so terrible about him more than anybody else? And the reason is, it's similar, because it's, you would think God would forgive such a thing. What's the big deal? So it's letting you know, Hashem won't forgive it. That's the idea here. It says, lo yinak Hashem, because you might think that Hashem should forgive it, and Hashem will not. Okay. In this Dibra, he just mentions that the Klal Yisrael heard all the Aseres HaDibros. This is, you know, from Sukkim. Klal Yisrael heard all the Aseres HaDibros. I know everyone's familiar, only the first two. Okay, so it's everyone heard all 10. All the 10 Dibros, everyone in the Jewish people heard. It's just they only understood 2. And that's on purpose. In other words, Hashem let them spoke to all the Jewish people, and they understood the first 2 Dibros. After that, they couldn't understand what was being said, and Moshe had to explain it to them. So their ears heard all 10, but they were only able to understand the first 2. Okay, then we have Shabbos. So it says, Zachar Yom HaShabbos HaKatcho. We know in the Luchos Shnius it says, Shomer. So Chazal tell us that Zachar v'Shomer b'dibur echad. Nemru was said b'dibur echad. So what does that mean? It means it was lav dafka. I mean, what does it mean? Anyway, the Ramban says he thinks that in, like, what was physically written in the Luchos Rishonos versus the Luchos Shnios. So the Ramban suggests that he thinks in both Luchos Shnios and Rishonos it said Zachar, and in both cases Moshe explained to them that it also means Shomer. Shomer was said with it. And whatever it means, when Hashem said it, he said both at once. That physically, only one can be written. So it's written Zachar in both. And Moshe explained to them that it meant Shomer. Okay. And so, there is a very famous part in this Ramban where he said Zachar is the Aseis of Shabbos and Shomer is the Los Aseis of Shabbos. And he says that, all mitzvahs Aseis come from Midas Ha'ava and Rachamim. Because it's like you're doing something for your dad, so then he loves you. That comes from Ava. And Midas Shomer, meaning the things you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, that's Los Aseh. All Los Aseh's are the same. And that's Midas Ha'ira, where your dad says, don't do this, you don't do it. So that's from Yira. And he says, that's why Aseh is greater than a Los Aseh, just like Ava is greater than Yira. Someone who does stuff for their parents is greater than someone who's careful to not do against what their parents said. So that's why Aseh is the Chalos Aseh, famously. Right? This is usually where people like to quote it when they learn Yavamas. Anyway, the fact that an Aseh, a mitzvah to do something, is the Chalos Aseh, that's because Aseh's are greater because they come from Ava, as opposed to Yira. It explains the purpose of Shabbos is to have a day to where you don't think about your work, and you just think about God, and you go to hear the shir, and you learn Torah, and you daven, and that's the purpose of Shabbos. And that's the same reason why there's an Isser of Shvisas Behemto, and nobody's, like, even your animal can't do work for you, because you're not supposed to be thinking about work. Nobody's supposed to be working. You're supposed to be, or they're not supposed to be working for you, because you're supposed to be only thinking about Torah, and this is from the Ikrei Amunah, because you don't work, so you're being moded that Hashem created the world and controls the world, and therefore Hashem will give you your parnassah some other way. That's interesting. It says that also who's supposed to rest on Shabbos is Gercha Asher B'Sharecha. So he thinks Gercha Asher B'Sharecha should refer to a Ger Toshev, but Chazal learned the opposite. But regardless, both are mentioned, and you can't have your a Ger Toshev do Malacha for you on Shabbos. I don't think too many people know that because we don't have too many Geratoshevs around. But if someone's officially a Geratoshev, that means someone who comes to live with the Yidden and accepts upon themselves officially in front of a Beis Din that they're going to keep Sheva Mitzvos, they get a full din of a Geratoshev, they cannot be your Shabbos guy. They're not allowed to do Malacha for you on Shabbos. Minat Torah. That's, that's what Chazal tell us Gercha is going. That's the Ger Toshav. He's not allowed to do Malacha for a Yid. It's interesting, if you look in the Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Memches Amabez, Rashi there says that a guy is mitzvah, part of Sheva Mitzvah, that a guy is supposed to keep Shabbos. Because it's like, since it reminds us not to keep Avodos Kachavim, it's like part of Avodos Kachavim. Tosos there asks on him, what are you talking about? Goy Shabbos is Chayiv Misa. So what does it mean? Over there, this pasuk, the Gemara in this pasuk, that's it. You can't use it. A Ger Toshav is not allowed to do Malacha for you. A Ger Toshav can do Malacha, must do Malacha for himself on Shabbos. A Ger Toshav cannot do Malacha for you on Shabbos, Minat Torah. Okay, then we have Karbitis Avichav Es Imecha. Why does God care about this? And we know the first luchos are the ones that are bin adam lamakom. How is kabeda savicha v'simecha kabeda makom? So the Rabban says, well, you might have thought it's obvious, that I'll say it this way. There's a mitzvah, most people know, that there's a inyan of kibud aveim to your older brother, right? Es avicha v'simecha, es is l'rabos, your older brother. So whoever's the oldest brother, the younger siblings have a mitzvah to be mechabed that older brother. Why? So they explain it's mishum kvod the father. So you're showing you're respecting your elders. That's a chelik of kibud aveim. It's respecting your elder. So kibud aveim is a chelik of kavanah makom, as Chazal tell us. So kish kvodim la kavanah makom. So the reason why Hashem tells us to respect our aveim, because it's kind of like respecting him. Hashem created us, and our parents created us. So honoring our parents is a way of honoring Hashem. And the Ramban says all the things mentioned till now, which is lo yelacha lohim acherim. It's like don't go. You can't be mechavit some other father who's not your father, saying he's your father. That's also wrong. You can't swear in your father's name. It says the same thing. It's all part of hukish kodesh kind of makom. Plus there are other things like Chazal tell us. But it's all coming off of Kavod Hashem, and that's why it's on the first set of, the Bein Adam LaMakom side. The first five Dibros are Bein Adam LaMakom, 7 and 5 are Bein Adam LaChavero. First five, so Kibud Aveim is for Hashem, because it's showing honor to Hashem by showing honor to the parents. That's the idea. It just mentions also the Luchos. The first five are, besides being Bein Adam LaMakom, they're also Keneged Torah Shebichsav, and the next one's, the other five are Torah Shebaalpeh, one is Bein Adam LaMakom, one is Bein Adam LaChavero, it's also Keneged Chasim Nekala, Keneged Shemayim Vaaretz, very fascinating stuff. Okay. Then the Ramban has a very detailed description of exactly what happened at Har Sinai, which is worth reading. It's in Perek Chaf, Pasuk Tezvav and Tezayin. So he says, first, what happened is they're by Har Sinai. First thing happened is the kolos of brachim, the thunder, the lightning, and the kol shofar, very strong. But the Shekhinah still wasn't there. So that's the first thing that happens. So it was a little bit, of a sight or a sound. So you're hearing thunder, lightning, and the strong shofar. And then Moshe tells him, okay, go out to Har Sinai, stand right there. They were a little nervous, but Moshe was mechazik them, and they came to stand where they were supposed to stand. And as soon as that happened, then Hashem is yored al ha'har ba'ish. That means the whole mountain now is on fire, and the smoke goes all the way up to the heavens. So we're talking about this huge fire, and the smoke going straight up to the sky, not like a little smoke. The smoke goes straight up to the heavens. So you're talking about a massive conflagration. And then the mountain itself starts shaking like crazy, like he says, like when you have a really big earthquake. He said, more than a really big earthquake, really shaking. Because the pasuk says, we know from Halal, it says, Harim raktu ke'elim gavos kiminetzon, that the mountains danced like rams. And the hills, it was dancing like crazy moving. And he says, that's not a mashal. That's meant literally, because look at the next pasuk is, Hayam ra'aba yinon se'yidin etzov l'achor. That ain't a mashal. The sea split, or the sea, whatever, the yardin, when it went up. It means literally. So dancing, it means it was shaking for real, like a super earthquake. So now you're telling me the whole thing's on fire. And he said the shofar's getting more mechazik. You got lightning, thunder, the shofar being more mechazik. The mountain's on fire, smoke's going up to the sky, the whole place is shaking. So everybody freaks out at this point. They said, "We did. Maybe you, Moshe, Hashem, talk to you, and we'll hear it through you." And Moshe says, "No, no, don't worry. You get he's mechazik them." That they just say, you know, they heard the first two dibros. They said, "You'll come and you just stay here." And he says that it says vayamot ha'merachuk. That means they couldn't stand. They weren't right up to the boundary. They were further back because they were so scared. And then Moshe says, "Nigash al Rafael." And then Hashem says the Aseres HaDibros. Just one last point in Perek Chav Pasuk Zayin. It says that Hashem came Lanasos Eschem. The purpose of Maimon Har Sinai, or I don't know what the rest says. Moshe says to the people when they said, "Okay, Hashem should speak to you." The rest of the Dibros. Moshe says, "Al tiro ki davavor Nasos Eschem ba'elokim." What does it mean, Nasos Eschem? What does that mean? So the Rabban understands it. Not everybody understands it this way, but the Rabban understands it to mean like a test. Meaning now you have no suffix that there's a God, I'm the God, and I run the world. Let's see how you do now, because now you know I'm here, so let's see if you love me and you want to do my mitzvahs or not. That's the test. And he says, you know, this could be a test, a good test. Like, he says there are different kinds of tests. Some people are tested negatively in the sense that they become poor, and Hashem sees how they do when they're poor. Some people are tested with riches, with good. And I think this point is important. He says, sometimes Hashem is gomel tova to someone, gives them good, to see if because Hashem gave them good, they themselves become more good, meaning they recognize it all comes from Hashem, and therefore they try to do more and more mitzvahs. That's passing that test. Okay, hopefully that should all happen. We should have tests like that, do everything good for us, and then we should recognize that comes from Hashem, and therefore do more and more Torah mitzvahs.